Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihara. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihara. Gopi Jana Balava Giribhara Dhani. Gopi Jana Balava Giribhara Dhani. Yashoda Nandana Praja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Praja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanacha. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihara. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Gopi Jana Balava Giribhara Dhari. Gopi Jana Balava Giribhara Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Queenie Dwarkadesh ki jai. Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari. I don't have a book. There's no book here. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Yogeshwara Uchu Preyan Na Te Anyo Asti Amutas Twayi Prabho Vishvatmani San Na Pritag Ya Atmanaha Atapi Bhaktyesha Tayo Padavatam Ananya Vrityanugrihana Vatsala Yogeshwara Uchu Preyanatunyasti Amutastvayi Prabho Vishvatmani Kshinna Pritagna Atmana Atapi Bhaktyeshu Twayopadabhatam Ananya Vrityanu Grihana Vatsala Yogeshwara Uchu Prayana Tenyasti Amutastvayi Prabho Vishvatmani Kshanna Pritagya Atmanaha Atapi Bhaktyesha Twayopadabhatam Ananya Vrityanu Grihana Vatsala Atmana Atapi Bhaktyesha Chayopadavatam Ananya Vrityanu Grihana Vatsala Yogeshwara Uchu Rayana tenyosti yamutastai prabho. Vishwatmani kesha na pritagna atmanaha. Atapi bhaktyeshu tvayopadavatam. Ananya vrityanu grahana vatsalaha. Yogeshwara uchu. Vivachani kesha na pritagya atmanaha. Atapi bhaktyesha tvayopadavatam. Ananya vrityanu grahana vatsalaha. Ladies. Yogeshwara uchu. Vyana vijnanyos mutas tvai prabho. Vishwatmani keshin pritagya atmanaha. Teshu tvayopadavatam. Ananya vitranu grahana vatsalaha. Yogeshwara uchu. Prayana tenyosti nyamutastrayi prabho. Vishwani keshana pritagya atmanaha. Atapi bhaktyesha tvayopadavatam. Ananya vrityanu grahana vatsalaha. Okay. Yogeshwara. The great mystics. Uchu. Said. Prayan. Very dear. Na. Not. Te. Of you. Anya. Another. Asti. There is. Amuta, from that. Twayi, in you. Prabho, dear Lord. Vishvatmani, in the super soul of all living entities. Ikchet, see. Na, not. Pritak, different. Ya, who? Atmana, the living entities. Atta api, so much more. Bhaktya, with devotion. Isha, O Lord. Taya, with it. Upadavatam, of those who worship. Ananya vritya, unfailing. Anugrahana, favor. Vatsala, O favorable Lord. Translation. The great mystic said, dear Lord, persons who see you as non-different from themselves, knowing that you are the supersoul of all living entities, are certainly very, very dear to you. You are very favorable toward those who engage in devotional service, accepting you as the Lord and themselves as the servants. By your mercy, you are always inclined in their favor. I'm going to go over there. The great mystic said, Dear Lord, persons who see you as non-different from themselves, knowing that you are the supersoul of all living entities, are certainly very, very dear to you. You are very favorable toward those who engage in devotional service, accepting you as the Lord and themselves as the servants. By your mercy, you are always inclined in their favor. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. Prabhupada. It is indicated in this verse that the monist are the great mystics. The monics and the great mystics know the Supreme Personality of Godhead as one. This oneness is not the misunderstanding that a living entity is equal in every respect to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This monism is based on pure knowledge and is described and confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, text number 17, which is, here we say, Priyohi Gyanino Chartam Aham Sacha Mama Priya. In the whole verses, Tesham Gyani Nitya Yukta Eka Bhaktir Vishishyate Priyohi Gyanino Chartam Aham Sacha Mama Priya. Of these, the one who is in full knowledge of me and is always engaged in pure devotional service is the best, for I am very dear to him and he is dear to me. That's after Krishna describes the four kinds of pious people, Chaturvedā bhajanti mām. The Lord says that those who are advanced in transcendental knowledge and know the science of Krishna consciousness are very dear to him, and he is also dear to them. They are actually in perfect knowledge of the science of God. Those who are actually in perfect knowledge of the science of God know that the living entities are superior energy of the Supreme Lord. This is stated in the Bhagavad Gita, 7th chapter. The material energy is inferior and the living entities are superior. Energy and the energetic are non-different. Therefore, energies possess the same quality as the energetic. Persons who are in full knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, analyzing his different energies and knowing their own constitutional position, are certainly very, very dear to the Lord. Persons, however, who may not even be conversant with knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but who always think of the Lord with love and faith, feeling that he is great and they are his parts and parcels, ever his servitors, and even are even more favored by him. The particular significance of this verse is that the Lord is addressed as Vatsala. Vatsala means always favorably disposed. The Lord's name is Bhaktavatsala. The Lord is famous as Bhaktavatsala, which means that he is always favorably inclined to the devotees, whereas he is never addressed anywhere in the Vedic literature as Gyani Vatsala. That's a good one, huh? Right at the end. Om Gyana Timirandasya Ganangana Shalakaya Chaksuru Militanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sva Padantika Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sajajatam Sagana Ragana Tanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadutam Parijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namaha. The Lord is very dear to the devotees, and then they are very dear to him. This is stated many times. That's what Narayan told Durvasa Muni when he approached him for protection from being burned by the Sudarshan Chakra due to his offense to Maharaj Ambarish. And the Lord said, I can't help you because The devotees are very dear to me, and you have to get shelter of them. It's something worth, we see the association of devotees is supremely important, Lord Chaitanya said. So the persons who understand that, they are very dear. So today is a very special day, significant in history. I will gradually become more and more recognized how significant it was that Srila Prabhupada came to America, and how he came and how he lived and what he did. So it's very significant that he came. He's most dear to the Lord, obviously, constantly absorbed in service, but not only for himself, but and not only just praying for the benefit of, but actually making so many arrangements so that so many others could be engaged in his service. And it's going on ever increasing because devotees are inspired. And now it's not the same as when he first came, because we have temples everywhere. There's people everywhere that know Hare Krishna, and books are everywhere. But we have big work to do. So I just looked this up. When he arrived at the Boston, he arrived in America in Boston Pier. The Atlantic is generally very, very rough. It's when they found the Pacific Ocean, that's why they called it Pacific, because it looks so peaceful compared to the Atlantic. And that time that Srila Prabhupada came was the season when it's the most rough. But somehow or other, they had a very smooth ride. It was so smooth that the wife of the captain of the ship asked him to please come back with them, because they'd never had such a smooth ride before. And he said that if it had been a normal time, he wouldn't have lived through it. Because we know in the beginning he was sick, and then he had two heart attacks. And, you know, there's several days after he wrote that, his diary was empty. So he finally got to Boston. So he wrote this poem called Markini Bhagavat. Teaching Krishna Consciousness in America. My dear Lord, you are so kind to this useless soul, but I do not know why you brought me here. Now you can do whatever you like with me. But I guess you have some business here. Otherwise, why would you bring me to this terrible place? Most of the population here is covered by the material modes of passion and ignorance. Absorbed in material life, they think themselves very happy and satisfied. Therefore, they have no taste for the transcendental knowledge of Vasudeva, Krishna. I do not know how they will be able to understand it. But I know that your causeless mercy can make everything possible, because you are the most expert mystic. How will they understand the mellows of devotional service? O Lord, I am simply praying for your mercy so that I will be able to convince them about your message. All living entities have come under the control of the illusory energy by your will. Therefore, if you like, by your will, they can be released from the clutches of illusion. I wish that you may deliver them. Therefore, if you so desire their deliverance, then only will they be able to understand your message. How will I make them understand this message of Krishna consciousness? I am very unfortunate, unqualified, and most fallen. Therefore, I am seeking your benediction so that I can convince them, for I am powerless to do so on my own. Somehow or other, you have brought me here to speak about you. Now, O my Lord, it is up to you to make me a success or a failure as you like. O spiritual master of all the worlds, I can simply repeat your message. So if you like, you can make my power of speaking suitable for their understanding. Only by your causeless mercy will my words become pure. I am sure that when this transcendental message penetrates their hearts, they will certainly feel gladdened and thus become liberated from all unhappy conditions of life. I am just like a puppet in your hands, so if you have brought me here to dance, make me dance, make me dance. O Lord, make me dance as you like. I have no devotion, nor do I have any knowledge, but I have strong faith in the holy name of Krishna. I have been designated as Bhaktivedanta, and now, if you like, you can fulfill the real purport of Bhaktivedanta. Signed, the most unfortunate, insignificant beggar, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, on board the ship Jaladuta, Commonwealth Pier, Boston, Massachusetts, USA, 18th September, 1965. So there we get the real understanding of surrender to Krishna and understanding, you know, what has to be done. And we can't do anything without Krishna's help. And anyone who really gives up the false ego and really begs Krishna to help, and then they can be successful. We see that now. So many devotees are doing so many things, inspired by Srila Prabhupada. And this whole goes on, that he not only, this, when he said later, how was he thinking on the ship, he said he thought that when he, you know, revealed the regulated principles to the Americans, they would just kick him out. They would just say, go back, you know, we don't want you here. Because he knew that everybody was absorbed in this passion and ignorance and thinking that these sinful activities are the prime virtues and goals of life. We know that, and it's getting more and more like that. At the same time, more and more people are taking shelter and understanding that these sinful activities are very bad. But to really take shelter, everyone needs the holy name. So he's claiming that he has no qualification except firm faith in the holy name, but there's no better qualification than that. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was praying, you know, Kabe Habe Bolo Sedi Namar Aparada Guchi Shudaname Ruchi Kripa Bolo Habe Ridoye Sanchar. When will that day be mine, when offenses are gone and I'll get a taste for the holy name? When will that happen? And then ultimately, when will I get this giving up all self-comforting and go out to preach your sublime message? So Srila Prabhupada definitely was not seeking comfort. Of course, even in India, the printers remember him coming and working so hard, and they would always ask him if he'd eaten. He'd said, no, I haven't eaten yet. We have to do this and that. And they would make him eat. And the ship, that was a comfortable room that he had, because it was the owner's room. But it was a small ship. It's not one with swimming pools and golf courses and theaters and all the things that ships have, you know, cruise ships. It was just a freighter with a small crew. And the ride is very, very rough, normally, the Atlantic. But this time it was peaceful. And then he had that vision of Krishna in a boat with the different avatars rowing. He had a dream, and Krishna was in the front. He said, don't worry, you know, I'll take care of you. He was fully surrendered. And we were just reading the other night, Bhrigupati Prabhu was reading from the early diary, you know, Prabhupada in the first in New York. I happened to just read that on the plane on the way here also. But when he got his own room there in Dr. Mishra's building, it was just an office room without even a window, what to speak of a bathroom or anything. And he had no furniture. He just had one steel trunk and his chadar that he used for asan and for sleeping. And the trunk was his table. And he would type. Not at all a comfortable situation, have to go out, you know, to use a bathroom somewhere and take a bath. I think he still went to Dr. Mishra's house to take bath. and cook. And not only for himself, but he took care of the doctor. And then he would attend Dr. Misha's meetings, but he wouldn't let him speak. Because I heard that lecture recently, and Prabhupada was preaching on that verse, never was there a time when I did not exist, or you nor all these kings. And he was so heavy about the Mayavadi, just smashing like the heaviest. And that was, you know, Dr. Misha said, I think, Swamiji, better you just chant. But he liked Prabhupada's chanting. He liked Prabhupada so much. He said later, he said Prabhupada saved his life by feeding him properly and cooking for him. So Prabhupada would chant, and he said he didn't mind. Sometimes the students would come and ask him questions, and then he had them come in his little room. And one devotee, I think it was Robert Nelson, and Prabhupada invited him in, and all day he talked until afternoon. And then Prabhupada said, all right, we're going to take rest now. And Prabhupada lay down on his cheddar, and Robert lay down on the floor and slept for an hour and a half and got up, and Prabhupada talked to him again. And he was certainly not seeking comfort. All he wanted to do was preach. So that's our inspiration. He didn't come like on a flying carpet or something with the big mystic powers and you know, just manufacture diamonds and gold or something, or bring, like, you know, thousands of people with him to make a big show. Some of these so-called incarnations that come from India now, they come with huge, you know, video displays of themselves morphing into Durga and all kinds of things, and all kinds of charitable activities that you can donate to, and a huge, beautiful bhajan band and dancers. And he came all by himself, an old man with no money. You can imagine. I don't know, we won't walk down the street practically without money, right? But he came all the way to America with no money. Only his books. He had to completely depend on the books to live on, you know, whatever books he could distribute. So it's, I'll read a little more. He was now in America, the rich city with billions of dollars, millions of people, and determined to stay. Meaning America was determined to stay that way. Prabhupada saw Boston from the viewpoint of a pure devotee. He saw hellish city life, people dedicated to the illusion of material happiness. All his dedication and training moved him to give these people the transcendental knowledge and saving grace of Krishna consciousness, yet he was feeling weak, lowly, and unable to help them on his own. He was just an insignificant beggar with no money, barely survived two heart attacks at sea, and he spoke a different language. He was dressed strangely, but he'd come to tell them to give up meat eating, illicit sex, intoxication, and gambling, and teach them to worship Lord Krishna, who to them was a mythical Hindu god. What would he be able to accomplish? So he said, to convince them, I just have to trust completely in the power of the Srimad Bhagavatam. If I can present this purely, he said, then I know that it can change the hearts. And of course, we've seen that it's done that. There's so many devotees in the world, and everybody reads Srimad Bhagavatam. And we want, Prabhupada said, every house should have the full set of Srimad Bhagavatam. It's beginning to happen. In India, of course, they sell so many. The Bengali parties, and then they keep track of everybody, and they have a big festival in Mayapur. They invite all the people that bought the Srimad Bhagavatam set, and they come to Mayapur and have a Srimad Bhagavatam festival for 1 week or something and study. And so they hope these people will go and teach it more and more. Now in America, Vaishekhas is telling me how he's Sunday feast, he just brings out the set of Bhagavatam and preaches about it, and people buy them. Ramapad Swami's taken that mission up also. We should all do it. I did it once in Bombay in Chopadi. I sold three sets. Just brought it out and talked about it. And I don't know how many more came after that, but people want it, but like we have to show ourselves, we have to show the books, we have to talk about them, and we have to read them, of course. Srimad Bhagavatam is, you know, and Chaitanya Charitamrita, all these books. So Prabhupada was very aware of the ignorance. So then the Jaladuta went to New York and docked at Brooklyn. He saw the awesome Manhattan skyline, the Empire State Building, which you can hardly see anymore because it's small. And millions of, he saw the Statue of Liberty. He was dressed appropriately for a resident of Vrindavan with a dhoti and neck beads and japa mala and an old chadar and a sika and a shaved head, tilak. He had the pointed rubber shoes, little rubber slippers, like sadhus in India wear. No one in New York had ever dreamed of anyone looking like this. But New Yorkers are expert to ignore any kind of strange thing. He had a sponsor somewhere in Pennsylvania, so someone would be there to greet him. He didn't know whether to turn left or right, he said, quote. He went through the dockside formalities and was met by a representative from the Traveler's Aid, sent by the Agarwals, who offered to take him to the Scindia ticket office to book his return trip. At that office, he spoke with the ticket agent, Joseph Forster, who was impressed by his unusual appearance, his light baggage, and his apparent poverty. He thought he was a priest. Most of these passengers were businessmen or families, and he'd never seen anyone like this before. He found Prabhupada to be a pleasant gentleman who spoke of the nice accommodations and treatment he got on the board of the ship, and Prabhupada asked him to keep space on a return trip. His plans were to leave in about 2 months, and he told Mr. Forrester that he would keep in touch. He had only 40 rupees, which he himself called a few hours spending money in New York. An additional $20 he collected from selling the 3 volumes of Srimad Bhagavatam to Captain Pandya. Srila Prabhupada, with his umbrella and suitcase in his hand, was escorted by the Traveler's Aid and set out to the Port Authority bus terminal to get his trip to Butler. So it's inconceivable, actually, how he could. In London, when they were fighting for the Bhaktivedanta Manor, one government official had to read all of Prabhupada's books. And he read the Lilamrita, and he liked it very much. So when he spoke to the devotees, he said, "You don't know what your spiritual master did. Do not understand." And the devotees were thinking, "What do you mean? You know, of course we understand." And he kept saying that, and they asked him, he said, "You know, he was an old man. He did it when he was so old." And, you know, the devotees were still thinking, "Yeah, yeah." And then he said, "You don't know what it's like to be old. 70 years old. You know, we're moaning and groaning, 50, even 30, you know. But Prabhupada was 70 years old. And like he said, make me dance." And when you see the old movies, he really danced like a madman. All hands were always in the air. He was leaping and jumping, running like crazy. If any of us who went on walks with him, you had to really work to keep up. You know, it wasn't like a leisurely stroll. He flew along very fast. Besides moving all over the world, you know, 3 times a year, very strenuous. But at that age, and always being fresh and never getting jet lag, you know, amazing things he did. So this is a great inspiration. He didn't just come flying in, a young man on a magic carpet. One time the reporters asked him something, and Prabhupada said, "There's different ways to travel, so there's magic carpet and there's airplanes," and he has something else. So the reporter was a little, he said, "Oh, I see you're on an airplane." Prabhupada said, "Yes, otherwise your airplane is useless." But he went through the same had to stand in line to get security checks and, you know, all these things. And one time he was quarantined even in Bombay because Shamasundar forgot to get the vaccination papers. But it was an interesting story. It's not in the books. Then, so Prabhupada, at first he got very upset, Shamasundar. And he said, all right, we'll take rest. He said he had to stay in quarantine for a week or something. Then after 3 days, he said, oh, I have that certificate. Jai Pataka has it in Calcutta. Call him and tell him to bring it. So he got out after 3 or 4 days. But he just, he just took it and took rest and worked on his translating or whatever. But such a personality. So the many, many people know Prabhupada from the books, even they don't know Krishna. But Prabhupada never tried to promote himself. He called it the International Hare Krishna Movement, International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Different than most of the others that come, it's always named for them. He wanted to promote Krishna. Fortunately, we did, you know, so many memories are there. He allowed himself to be recorded so much. He associated with devotees so intimately. You can read any one of these memory books, you know, especially Gurudas's book. Prabhupada was riding on the train with him in India, and Prabhupada was eating and then giving him the other half of the pakora and everything. You know, and just so close with his disciples and to inspire them and make them do like miraculous things. And then he produced this Srimad Bhagavatam, which is now in more and more and more languages and being distributed, you know, like just like Prabhupada sat right here and said, in as many languages as possible, you know, distribute as many books as possible, and then the Krishna consciousness will automatically spread all over the world. It's doing that in spite of our foolishness and all the mistakes we've made. Lord Chaitanya is very kind, and it's really inconceivable how everywhere we go, so many people are, you know, distributing, have Prabhupada's books. So many people have the books already everywhere we go. And they've heard of Prabhupada, but we need to spread this message more and more. We can't to be like him. He was intensely absorbed in ecstasy, and that way just inspired all of us. And he's saying here that what he was, one who may not even be conversant with knowledge of the Supreme Personality, but who always thinks of the Lord with love and faith, feeling that he is great and they are his parts and parcels, ever his servitors, are even more favored by him. And then that final line, he never said Gyani, you know, Gyani Vatsala. Or, you know, he in the 12th canto, when he the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna lists off all the different kind of people that are very dear to him, he never said the one who knows, you know, everything. The ones who are, you know, full of bhakti, one who they want to serve Krishna. They realize I'm small. I'm just a servant of Krishna. And as soon as we forget that and try to do it, no matter what kind of opulence we have, we've seen it. We can't function. Just like Arjuna, you know, when he claimed he'd forgotten Krishna, that was after Krishna's disappearance. So he couldn't use his weapons. Couldn't remember those mantras, you know, for the celestial weapons. Couldn't pull his bow. The Gandiva bow is not ordinary. I think only, you know, Arjuna and Bhima and Krishna or something were the only ones that could even pull it. And, you know, maybe Karna or somebody. But then all these mantras, they have to be, you know, for the celestial weapons, they have to be chanted. So he couldn't function because he'd forgotten Krishna. Then he remembered again Bhagavad Gita and he surrendered. Remember that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. Krishna is the... What can we do? We can't breathe or talk or do anything without Krishna. So here Prabhupada is saying, you know, what Krishna is favorably disposed, especially those who have firm faith. Shraddha, most very, very important factor. Someone can have all kinds of knowledge of Krishna, or they can have all kinds of expertise in so many things. But if they don't have faith that Krishna is the Supreme Lord, if we don't have faith in the process of bhakti, ashadadana purusha, dharmasyasya paranta prapyamam nivartante, mrityu samsara vartmani, then those who do not have faith, they cannot attain me. So we've seen that. Many, many, many people have come to Krishna consciousness, but somehow they don't have faith. They may blame other people for their inability to follow the process or to stay in the association of devotees. But if one has faith, my dear godbrother Shivaram Swami, he said one of the most brilliant things I ever heard in Mayapur, that there's no justice in this world. If there was, then we wouldn't develop faith, you know. In order to get forced to be faithful, there's so many things go wrong all the time, you know. All these disasters and, you know, people don't treat you right, the leaders run away, all kinds of things. It doesn't seem fair sometimes, you know. We don't get what we think we deserve. But one who has faith, he'll carry on. Haridas Thakur had faith, so even he was, you know, being tortured, he would never think of giving up chanting the holy name of the Lord, even though they said they would kill him. He said, "You can kill me, but I won't stop chanting." This is Krishna. Prabhupada gives the example of Jesus Christ we heard this morning. He tolerated crucifixion. So to develop tolerance, there's one big Christian motivator. He said, you have to work within the church, society. Otherwise, you'll never develop tolerance and patience and all these things. If you just go off by yourself somewhere, how are you going to become tolerant? Right? The yogis and gyanis that just go off and live in a cave and, you know, they're afraid to come into the world and associate with sinful people. They may be able to tolerate heat and cold and mosquitoes and things, but they never tolerate, you know, what happens when you try to preach. All the different things that we have to put up with. When we try to work with a group, we're never going to be all, like, you know, just totally in agreement with everybody. But we have to work anyway, and this everything moves on. Prabhupada gave us this special feature, cooperation. You know, stick together, keep the world society going, everybody cooperate, you know, work under some kind of authority. Because that is a great test, but that'll make us very, very strong if we do that. Then we can come to this. And faith is developed by the association of devotees, Prabhupada says in that same purport, very nice purport. And even Krishna is saying, even 5,000 years ago, it's not like all of a sudden someone, you know, doesn't have faith because of ISKCON have doing something wrong or whatever. But it's always been there. That's why it's stressed so much, hundreds of times. And mostly when that word faith is there in slokas, it says if you chant and do this and do that with faith and devotion, then you get all these results. If you do it without faith, then that's a great offense. One should not fail to have complete faith in the chanting of the holy name after hearing so many instructions on this matter, that, you know, chanting with faith, that we really have, we know, okay, Prabhupada has been sent by Krishna, this mission, he wanted this movement, we stick it out, we preach, we distribute books, we go on Harinam, and the results are coming in. People are more and more curious. Last night when we were walking back to the car from the Harinam, there was nobody around in that street. And then one couple or two boys and a girl, and the girl stopped me, you know, what are you doing? And she knew Hare Krishna. And then she was really into it. She said, I just really admire anyone that, you know, doesn't drink and smoke and do it. She said, you're like my mother. My mother's a Mormon and her father's a hippie or something. She said, they don't know how they got together. But anyway, they all said they would come. We hope they'll come. I just felt bad. They kept inviting us to come to the bar with them and chant and didn't do it. Felt like we should have. You know. But people are, you know, looking. There are sincere people everywhere and they're looking for this purity. They're looking for the pure message and they're looking for people who follow it. And by constantly meeting them again and again, by them seeing us again and again, everybody will become purified. So Krishna is bhakti vatsali. He's very favorable towards the devotees, those who try to serve him with whatever, you know, whatever we can do. We can't do anything spectacular. But to just do it with faith, that's what Krishna is looking for. So here is one of our most active places in the world and so many people, so it's very inspiring to be able to come here. Seemingly I have this curse that Prabhupada talked about yesterday to keep moving. You know, always jumping from one place like a jumping bean. But that's also special mercy, to be always associating with different devotees. That way we can become convinced that, you know, the power of this movement and the need for it, as we see all these, if we go out into the world and try to preach to these people how much they're suffering and how much compassion Srila Prabhupada had to do what he did, to be so inspired to work tirelessly because he saw that people need Krishna. There's no other relief for their miseries. So, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So this day, you know, we should try to remember this. Read Lilamrita, the most amazing book. And is a great inspiration for any preacher you ask them. They love to read that. To just get, you know, try to follow in his footsteps. And hope we can keep it up. Dedicated to the mission of his spiritual master, always in ecstasy, even though there was no apparent results, but in ecstasy to have any one person even be a little bit interested, and then Krishna to see what has manifested. Any comment or question? Yes, sir. You.
How does a devotee at one time, he has great faith in the process of Krishna consciousness in the sense that he's done so many wonderful things, he's, you know, distributed so many books, he's opened so many temples, and at one time lose that faith? And so my question would be, how do we guard from that, not losing that faith?
Hare Krishna. Maybe they didn't have such great faith. Or they became proud of what they did. That's stated. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur said even one can be like completely pure and authorized and bona fide. But if he becomes proud, he said in the case of like a guru, by only associating with his loving followers and not associating with anybody who doesn't love him and agree with him, and it can become proud. And when we become proud, what do? If I think I'm better than everyone else, how will I treat other people? I'll make offense, right? Vaishnava aparad. And then Vaishnava aparad, everything Krishna leaves. But sometimes maybe someone can be doing such wonderful things, but they're not really having so much faith. They're just thinking how great they are. And they have somehow their get special mercy, Krishna uses them. We can't say for sure, but we should pray that we can, you know, humility. Trinadapi suni chinatadorapi seshna. Amanina manadena kirtaniya sahari. Then you can chant all the time. Lord Chaitanya didn't say by doing spectacular things and being a big shot that you'll always chant, right? So, but we want to do those things also. Prabhupada did all those things, but he did have great faith, and he always gave credit to his spiritual master, and he always thought that his only worthy thing that he did was to follow the order of his spiritual master. Therefore, he was always chanting, and he was always inspiring everyone else to try to do what he did. So, and sometimes neophytes' faith is broken, you know, by other people who try, and according to Vedas, to speak in such a way or act in such a way as to destroy someone's faith is murder. It's the same as murder. So we should be very careful about those kind of people. They come around all the time, the Kali Kala, try to, you know, destroy faith of the neophytes. So we want to become fixed up by associating with those who do have great faith and always understanding and praying and understanding that. Prabhupada said, I prayed to Krishna, his deity, that he would not fall down. Right? So if we examine, Jayadvaita Maharaj said once when a few big shots first fell down, he said, they're proving the philosophy. If you examine their activities, they're proving the validity of the philosophy because they fell down, and it's also described, you know, why you fall down. One big former leader came to visit Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj recently, and Maharaj told him, you should write a book about what went wrong. Said, you were such a big shot, but then you've done so much, and you should write a book explaining what went wrong and warn other people about it. I don't know if he's going to do it or not. But he said, what can a dying man worry about, you know, can say anything to anybody? So he was speaking like that to many people that came. But faith is, you know, is very valuable, but by following strictly all the, you know, things, just stick to this Trinadapi, Sunichina, Tororapi, Sahishnuna, Amanina, Manadena, Kirtaniya, Sadahari. I think the other day it came up yesterday, Queen Kunti, you know, those who are materially bereft, they can chant the holy name with feeling. A pride, puffed up person, that, you know, they can chant, they can do things, but not with feeling. They're not going to give Krishna credit for it. Right? I did it. We had one guy once, he was a very big book distributor, more than anybody. And Tamal Krishnaraj was always saying, well, Vaishyasika is better than him. You know, Vaishyasika was, you know, chanting hours and hours a day of Bhagavad Gita and, you know, doing everything so nicely. And so this guy, in a short time, he was gone. And devotees met him later. He was some kind of bearded guy in a tent. And he said, yeah, I was the biggest book distributor. I already perfected Krishna consciousness. I don't have to do it anymore. So, you know, that can happen, even though he's because it depends on your consciousness. Not exactly on only what we're doing, but, you know, how we're understanding it. All right? Is that all right? Any objections? Faith, as many mentions, you can look if you have this database. I looked it up the other day, just in the slokas. There's, you know, 300 different times the word faith is a very important thing. Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam, ki jai. Srila Prabhupada's transcendental arrival in America, ki jai. Gaur Premanandi. New Dorkadam, ki jai. Sri Rukmini Dorkadish, ki jai. Jagannath Subhadra Balaram, ki jai. Shishigor Nitai ki jai. Hare Krishna.